I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Today, we continue our series of conversations with the candidates, with Johnny Olszewski Jr. and Al Redmer Jr., who are running to be the next Baltimore County executive. Redmer, a Republican, is a former delegate and the current Maryland Insurance Commissioner. Olszewski, a Democrat, is also a former delegate who taught in Baltimore County schools. He's currently working in the private sector. Some of the issues that have dominated the discussion during the campaign include school overcrowding, universal pre-K, affordable housing, development, public safety, and addressing the opioid crisis. Today, the candidates will have a chance to share their ideas about the future of the state's third largest jurisdiction. Johnny O and Al Redmer join me when Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Today, we continue our series of conversations with the candidates, with the two major candidates for Baltimore County Executive, former State Delegate John Olszewski Jr. and Republican Maryland Insurance Commissioner Al Redmer Jr. Ever since the June primary, Mr. Redmer and Mr. Olszewski have run spirited campaigns. They've appeared perhaps 40 or 50 times together in various forums. Both men have appeared together, in various forums around the county, as well as on this program. They were also in a televised debate that aired on Saturday, and they both readily agreed to our invitation to appear together today here on Midday. Our format is not a traditional debate. We will not be timing answers or anything like that. Rather, we're going to have a conversation about some of the big issues that they've been discussing with voters over the last few months. I will do my best to see that each candidate gets adequate time to respond to my questions and yours during the course of the hour. We will take your calls a little later in the program. For now, we welcome your emails, your tweets, and you can ping us on Facebook. Our email address, midday@wypr.org, our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR, and we are, as I said, streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Gentlemen, it's good to see you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us in.
So I want to start with the issue of affordable housing, because there are many things in this campaign that have, as it turns out, you have some modicum of agreement on. This is not one of them. Mr. Redmer, let me start with you. There is a consent decree, an agreement with the ACLU and HUD that was reached back in 2012 about affordable housing. Begin by telling us what your understanding of the need for affordable housing is and the right approach to meeting that need.
Well, certainly there is a need for affordable housing in Baltimore County all across the board. As a matter of fact, even more striking is not just the need for affordable housing, but to have affordable housing that folks actually want to live in. Because when you look at affordable housing around the county, the stock is aging. So that's something that needs to be addressed. We need to have a strategy as to how we're going to deal with it. So as an example, we need to look at the development process as it relates to infill developments. You know, when you look at the price of housing, there's a lot of soft cost built into that. And part of that is the bureaucracy of getting these things approved to begin with. So the days of having hundreds and hundreds of acres of raw land that are going to be developed are gone in Baltimore County. Most of the development's going to be smaller projects in more suburban and almost urban areas.
And what about the vouchers? There's an agreement that calls for 2,600 vouchers to be distributed to people to live at various places around the country.
Absolutely. So it provides that we're going to increase the number of units in Baltimore County. It states that we will provide $30 million of taxpayer money to create incentives for these properties to be built. And most concerning to me is that it directs folks into specific areas of the county. So I'm concerned about the agreement on a number of fronts. Number one, I'm concerned about the fact that the process was not open or transparent. It was a unilateral decision made by the county executive. It did not have county council approval to that decision. And I'm concerned that the that the agreement itself is discriminatory because it directs folks to live in specific areas, whether they want to live in those areas or not. So
this is a court-ordered agreement. So would you go to court to try to rescind this agreement?
So the first step will be to go back and try to renegotiate it with the stakeholders to see if we can get terms that I believe are more favorable to the county. And if not, we will look at going to federal court to challenge it. The my other concern is, as part of the agreement, requires the county to pass legislation that would require every landlord to accept Section 8 housing. My opponent supports that. I don't. I don't believe that we should be requiring landlords to accept to do business with the federal government if, in fact, they don't want to, because there's an entirely different level of cost and burden in doing business with the federal government than if you don't.
All right, Mr. Olszewski.
Well, let's start with affordable housing. There is an affordable housing shortage in Baltimore County, and the crux of the agreement, which I would not waste millions of dollars of taxpayer money fighting in federal court, because that's why we entered into it in the first place, because we would have lost that battle. It actually is smart. It has the county partnering with the private sector to meet the workforce needs. It partners with the private sector to have quality workforce housing, so that what we're talking about are salaries that are similar to starting teachers, our newest firefighters. We need to have places for our people to live. They currently don't, and they can't afford them in Baltimore County. So this isn't an expansion of Section 8. This isn't jamming Section 8 in all corners of the county. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of fear-mongering and outright misinformation in this campaign about what the agreement is and isn't. There are no new vouchers. I mean, there's been a waiting list in Baltimore County so long that Baltimore County has actually stopped taking applicants for vouchers in Baltimore County. That's a program set at the national level. That is not going to be expanded anytime soon, particularly under this administration. So, you know, let's just be honest. Like, we're not talking about new vouchers. And the affordable workforce housing program in partnership with the private sector is a way to meet the needs without expanding vouchers in Baltimore County. To the extent there are vouchers in the county, I do support ending housing discrimination in Baltimore County. I think discrimination in any form is wrong. These are the same arguments we had when people said we are going to discriminate based on race or gender or religion. We don't prevent landlords from doing things like background checks still, or holding their tenants to high standards. And I think there's a way that we can pass it in partnership with the private sector, because what we've allowed is concentrated poverty to exist in our communities and concentrated pockets of housing vouchers. And unless we pass this legislation, we're going to continue to see the social problems attendant with that concentrated poverty and concentrated housing that we see in parts of Baltimore City. Now, look, Howard County and Montgomery County have these kinds of housing policies in place. They are some of the most affluent countries, not in Maryland, in the country, because they recognize you cannot have concentrations of poverty for an entire jurisdiction to thrive. So we have to get a handle on it, and we have to move forward, and that's what I'm proposing to do.
We have a number of issues, so I do want to move on. Let's talk about school construction. This is something that both of you have been thinking about, talking about a lot. There are estimates that it could cost as much as $620 million, Mr. Redmer, to build either from scratch or big renovations for three high schools in particular, Delaney, Lansdowne, and Towson. There are other schools that need improvements as well. How will you approach this problem if you're elected?
Sure. First, this is symbolic of what we see in Baltimore County, where there is no long-term plan. There's no multi-year budget to address a lot of issues in Baltimore County, not just the construction of schools. So while we're looking at $600 million here, we've got sewer and water projects. We've got road projects. The Baltimore County Police Department is understaffed, and there's no long-term plan. There's no multi-year budget to address any of this. And at the same time, we've spent our budget in Baltimore County. We're currently $2 billion in debt. And just in March, Moody's, the bond rating house, put Baltimore County on a watch list, which means that coveted AAA bond rating that we enjoy is at risk.
Is there any other jurisdiction that does a multi-year budget? You've talked to us about this.
Sure, absolutely. Most organizations do. I can tell you my organization does. At the Maryland Insurance Administration, I can tell you
But in terms of jurisdictions, Howard County, Anne Arundel County, Montgomery County.
I haven't checked their budget. I believe that they do. You've got to have a pathway to figure out how you're going to get from point A to point B. Baltimore County used to have a long-term plan and a multi-year budget going back to Dutch Ruppersberger when I was in the legislature. But dealing with this financial issue, there's a couple of things. Number one, Governor Hogan loves Baltimore County. He spends a lot of time here, and he's been very generous to Baltimore County, even when there was a county executive that was running against him for governor. And I hope and expect that having a county executive that's been a personal friend for 25 years and has worked professionally with him for 3.5 years, that we'll see additional love and support than we otherwise would. There's currently over $200 million of money at the state that needs to be returned to Baltimore County as a result of us forward funding projects.
And in terms of building these three high schools that people have been talking about now for months and months, I mean, what is your approach to whether or not they get built? In what order do they get built?
I think we need to do all three at the same time. And it's going to be difficult because of the financial challenges that I mentioned. The other thing is, I believe that we should be creative and at least explore other means of financing public schools. So as an example, right now we pay a lot of money with state and federal, local and state money and borrowing money to buy high schools. I think we should consider renting with the option to buy. The same contractor builds it. We still take control. We still maintain it. Everything works exactly the same way, except you're using private sector capital, so we don't have to borrow the money. That means that we can do more sooner than if we did. And I'm not suggesting that that's the solution, but I think it's something that should be at least on the table and investigated.
And Mr. Reshevsky, what do you think about that? Just have a private developer do it and then rent it?
Terrible idea to be turning over our schools to private developers. We have studies that show that that doesn't work, and it's the wrong signal to send. I mean, I couldn't disagree more. I couldn't disagree more in a prior forum. My opponent has said that he's okay with kids learning in trailers. As a teacher who taught in a trailer, I can tell you it is not the best learning environment. It's also not the safest learning environment. I think that's why the teachers of Baltimore County have rallied behind our campaign and have endorsed us, because we recognize that we need a plan, which we've released. It's very specific, but we also need action, because every year that we are not taking action for our kids, those students in Delaney with brown drinking water and pipes that are breaking, Towson that's overcrowded, Delaney, Lansdowne is literally sinking into the ground. We have to take action and get it done now. And
again, you think you can do all three at once, or would you prioritize them in any particular order?
I think that actually part of what you get in doing it is an economy of scale. And so that's actually one of the many things. So we released a Getting the Job Done blueprint today, talking about how we do all these things. So not waiting for the other side of an election to give voters a plan. But we've released plans not just for investing in the infrastructure of our schools. We've also talked about investing in the human capital of our schools to address the challenges there. We've also just been very specific about how we pay for it. And one of the things that Al mentioned earlier is the over $200 million we're owed. You know, if he's such good friends with the governor, we've got a $500 million surplus now. I would love to see that money and not as an election day ploy.
And this has to do with the procurement process and the Baltimore County forward funds its schools. It pays for it by itself and then gets reimbursed by the state.
Right. And you know, I would just add that, you know, we talk about friendships and relationships. You know, I have overwhelming support and longtime friendships from members of the legislature. And that's really where the school construction dollars come from. When we think about what Baltimore City did in their 21st Century Schools program, something I would replicate to help pay for our schools, there was over $1 billion of new spending to build new schools and renovate others directed by the legislature. So having a county executive who will absolutely work with a Governor Hogan or whomever the governor is, because that's what voters of Baltimore County expect. They want a bipartisan leader who gets things done. But I can work those relationships that I have in the General Assembly with the leadership to deliver the real results Baltimore County voters want and expect.
All right, Mr. Redbird, a quick comment, and then we got to take a break.
Well, yeah, I have never said that I suggest turning our schools over to the private sector. I've never said that. I said we should explore creative opportunities to finance them.
Al Redmer Jr. is the Republican candidate, and Johnny Olszewski Jr. is the Democratic candidate for Baltimore County Executive. We'll have more with both candidates when we come back from a quick break. We will take your calls, questions, and comments at that time. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @TomHallWYPR. You can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page where we are streaming. We'll be back in a flash. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, a conversation about how secure the process of voting will be here in Maryland and beyond next week and next month when voters head to the polls. Actually, it's this week and next month. Last Friday, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence voiced concern about Russia, China, and Iran interfering in the midterm elections. They had concerted efforts at spreading disinformation, to be sure. And tomorrow I'll speak with a reporter for the New York Times and a scholar from the Brennan Center for Justice, as well as Linda Lamone, the state administrator of the Maryland Board of Elections, about whether or not any of those efforts extend to the mechanics of voting itself. So that's coming up tomorrow on Midday. If you've just joined us today, my guests are Johnny Olszewski Jr. and Al Redmer Jr., the Democratic and Republican candidates, respectively, for Baltimore County Executive. That office is currently held by Don Mohler, who was appointed to fill the position and to fill out the term of Kevin Kamenetz, who died suddenly last May. Our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Mr. Olszewski, let me ask you about an issue that Mr. Redmer brought up before the break, and that has to do with the bond rating and, you know, just general affordability of a lot of things. Baltimore County, by most estimates, is at or near its capacity for borrowing, for capital improvements, and for operating support, be it for the schools or anything else.
Sure.
There was a somewhat damning report issued last spring by Councilman Quirk about the dangers that he foresaw, he and his committee foresaw, about the spending in the county. What's your take on how that problem should be approached, and where would you take it?
Well, I just would start by saying I welcome the support of Councilman Quirk in this race, who wrote that. And just recently, this is, I guess, breaking news on the show. We were pleased to receive the Sun endorsement today as well. I think that they all, people who are independent-minded, see that we can handle these problems and handle them in a smart, intelligent way. I'd also just say that, you know, as it in terms of making the investments, I welcome that Al has joined my call for the investments in our schools and has joined our call for investing in economic development in places like UMBC and Towson University and the incubators there. But the difference is we've actually, and today we've formally released it, a plan for how we meet the needs of our communities while also paying for them. And so it is long, because the challenges are complex and residents deserve a complex answer. And so it starts with growing our county and making the investments, because if we don't invest in our schools, we will see parents either not move here or not stay here. And, you know, Howard County, for example, has a median home value of $200,000 more than Baltimore County. That's directly attributable to, I believe, the quality of the school system. And so making the investments long term has a return on investment. It's also about partnerships. So engaging the state and others to find those partners to help make those investments, and having a 21st century schools program so we have those hundreds of millions of dollars come back that we're owed and get additional resources. It is about conducting a full efficiency audit on day one to identify efficiencies and waste, fraud, abuse. Every 1% that we can identify in the budget, in a $3 billion budget, is over $30 million. We can reinvest. 5% over 10 years is $1.6 billion. We have to use innovation and technology to streamline government, make it more efficient. We have to prioritize our existing spending. So, for example, I've criticized that we've spent over $300 million on a laptop program as we've failed to invest in the more basic infrastructure. And in terms of meeting the frontline needs of our schools, you know, we've allowed our mid-level and top-level administrative budget in our school system to grow by over 40% over the last 5 years. At the same time, the front lines have grown just over 10%. So, you know, and then in doing all of that, being transparent with the public about where the money is coming, where it's going, so that we can actually show progress towards all of the goals. And as we implement all of these actions, we can show the value saved and how we're reinvesting it.
All right. And Mr. Ebner, you also have called for an audit
I have.
Of what's going on.
I mean,
is it the case that the county has not been auditing its spending for the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
That's
Jim
exactly
Smith
right.
Didn't do it. Kevin Kamenetz didn't do it. Dutch Ruppersberger didn't do it. I mean, is this a new idea to audit the county's expenses?
They have not been doing it to the extent that they should. And, you know, Moody's, and, you know, part of my career has been financial. Moody's is going to look for a business-like, methodical approach to how we're going to address these problems. The solution is not to spend $2 billion of new money that my opponent has called for. And, you know, Ben Jealous has the same proposals for that $2 billion. He has admitted that it's going to take a tax increase to pay for it. And I believe he's correct. So we're going to do
And you're committing to no tax increase.
That's exactly
but
right.
But let me ask this then. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done the audit yet, how do you know? I mean, I can imagine that you don't want to raise taxes. Taxes haven't gone up in Baltimore County in 29 years.
Absolutely.
But I mean, without having first done the audit, how can you completely rule it out?
And it's going to be even more problematic than we currently know about. I can assure you that once we get in and we start doing the audit, we are going to find financial bodies buried all over Baltimore County. So we've got to do a number of things at the same time. Number one, we're going to go in and we're going to do an audit. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to bring in the process improvement folks. We're going to go, and I do this literally in my current position and have done it for years in the private sector. We're going to methodically go department by department with the process improvement folks, starting with the rank and file employees, going up, looking at what we do, how we do it, why do we do it, and how can we do it more efficiently and effectively. We're gonna change the process of government so it's more efficient, effective, and cost-effective.
And you foresee a dramatic change after you go through that?
So it's not going to be enough to solve these financial problems, but it will be a movement in the right direction. We need to create we need to first identify short-term solutions, but create a long-term plan. And we're going to do this by going around the county, district by district, working with the councilman, councilwoman, whether it's Republican or Democrat, the local state legislators, and all of the interested parties in that community, because each community is different. Each community has different needs. Step one, we need to create a laundry list of the unmet needs in that community. Step two, we need to put a price tag on it. We need to quantify it. And then step three, working in an open, transparent, and collaborative way, we need to prioritize all of those unmet needs in the community, roll it into a countywide long-term plan and multi-year budget that provides a pathway to how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it through prioritizing based on the existing revenues that we currently have.
It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. My guest today, Al Redmer, Jr. He is the current Maryland Insurance Commissioner, and Johnny Olszewski, Jr. He is a former delegate, a former school teacher at Patapsco High School. They are both running for Baltimore County Executive. Our number here at midday is 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org to find us on Twitter at @MiddayWYPR. And you can also ping us on the WYPR Facebook page. We have an email from Henry in Towson who says, my fiance and I live in Towson and we're hoping to start a family in the next few years. However, the cost of pre-K and early child care is extremely high and concerning. We're both attorneys. We make a good living. But if we're worried about the cost of early childhood education, then I can only imagine the difficulties that working families have in sending their children to pre-K. So considering how important pre-K is, what will you do as county executive to expand access and make it more affordable. Mr. Olszewski, we'll start with you.
I'm absolutely committed to expanding access to voluntary pre-K. I'd like to make it universal here in Baltimore County. The research on the benefits of pre-K are clear. The scientific information and the data is overwhelming. It's an investment worth making. And if we don't have the resources to do it as an additive measure, I've even come down as far as supporting, Dr. Nancy Grasmick, who said, look, the value of early childhood is so great. It's so great that it's even more important than that last year. And I can tell you from spending time in a classroom, in a high school classroom, that oftentimes seniors in high school are already on work release, or they're taking electives they don't necessarily need, or they're already in community college taking those coursework. So it is worth finding a way to invest in that
And what's
expansion.
The county's role as opposed to the state government in terms of universal pre-K?
Well, look, I mean, in many ways, the state has to be a leader. And so that's why I'm so proud of all the support and relationships I have in the legislature to go down and work with the Kerwin Commission, which is going to be calling for expanding access to universal pre-K. They're going to be calling for more investments in our school system. There's a ballot question, question one, to direct those casino revenues. So there will be, I believe, the resources to make it happen. But it's incumbent upon good leaders to set the vision and be an advocate for those kinds of supports within our school system. That's exactly what I'll do.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Redmer, in terms of pre-K or any other educational proposals?
So John and I are actually getting closer on this. He's moderated his position from pre-primary and is presenting a more reasonable incremental approach. And I happen to agree. I have five grandchildren. Those that are in school go to Baltimore County Public Schools. I understand the advantage of pre-K, and I support an expansion of pre-K. But right now, we don't have the space, we don't have the staff, and we don't have the money to expand it universally around Baltimore County. So that needs to be part of the long-term plan as to how we address it. I want to work closely with the nonprofits that are out there and the existing programs that are there to see if we can enhance what's currently going on and make it more affordable and create greater access.
But it sounds like your assessment of it is that the need isn't quite as immediate as perhaps your opponent. Is that a
so
fair
it,
assessment?
We have plenty of immediate needs. This needs to be a process of creating that long-term plan where we're able to prioritize these kinds of issues. And so it's a high priority, but I can't tell you it's the highest priority and that we can do it in one fell swoop, because I don't think we can. That's why I believe we need to have a thoughtful, deliberate, business-like process to identifying these unmet needs and creating a plan to address them in a reasonable way.
If I may, I believe we have to have an absolute urgency about these issues, because every year we fail to give a kid that best start possible, that they don't have access. Every generation of every year and every generation of kids who don't have access to quality pre-K, every year we're not having in place school meal programs to feed our hungry kids. We are failing those children. And so we have to have a plan. And again, I'm proud to have presented a plan both on what we do and how we work towards it. But we have to have an urgency of now, because every year we don't do it, we're failing those kids.
Mr. Olszewski, let me ask you to respond to this first, and then Mr. Redmer as well. Both of you have called for more transparency and accountability in county government. Mr. Redmer refers to customer service. You have used similar rhetoric. You've talked about a program based on something that the city of Baltimore does, which is they call City Stat. You're calling it County Stat.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect to learn if you take a look in some different way than people are looking at it now? Mm-hmm. What do you expect to learn? What data do you think you're going to get that is going to help inform decisions that you're going to make? In other words, is the current government and is prior administrations not working with adequate data, and are they making decisions that reflect that?
Absolutely not working with adequate data. It's what I do in my professional life now. I do big data analytics, IT, technology, and so I'm prepared to bring that to Baltimore County tomorrow. A county stat is just one piece of the larger puzzle. But having an accountability system and a measurement system, what gets measured gets managed. and what gets measured. So we have to have a way from everything from potholes to permits to be able to tell our residents, this is how long it's taking us to turn something around. This is how long it's taking us to fill a pothole. Because if we don't have data and if we don't have accountability measures, there's no way we can set goals and standards by which that I will want to judge the leaders of my departments and by which I want residents to judge me as county executive. But, you know, I would say that county stat, for lack of a better term, is just one part, one small part of a larger reform agenda that includes everything from public financing of campaigns and actually having campaign finance reform in Baltimore County, posting our budget online, having budget sessions before we introduce the budget, having at least one community liaison for every council district, and having more people support our individual districts. But largely leading by example, working with the county council to move work sessions to the evening so that decisions aren't being made in the middle of the day, using technology to tell residents proactively that an application for a PUD or a variance or a school boundary change has been put in so that they are aware of what's happening with government and they can be most meaningfully involved in that deliberation process.
And Mr. Redmer, I mean, is there information you think that currently is not available and should be available?
Well, there is. First, you know, let me tell you how I govern now. I have held over 20 public meetings myself throughout the state of Maryland in the last 3.5 years. Now, naturally, it's dealing with the insurance industry, but we've had those meetings as far east as Ocean City and as far west as Frostburg and everywhere in between. So for years, both in the public and private sector, everything that we do is open and it's transparent. There are issues. So if you remember the little tragic death of the 5-year-old in Lutherville and her grandmother a couple of months ago.
In a traffic accident.
They were hit by a driver, impaired as I understand it. But the county, the community had been working, trying to get traffic issues addressed for a couple of years. And the county did a traffic study, but would not release the data to the community, which is absolutely bizarre. But let's caution about the, and I'm a big fan of technology and I embrace it, and data is good if it's used for the right things. But we have deteriorating quality of public schools in Baltimore County in part because of data. They're measured by data. So the schools, has a chilling effect. The schools cannot flunk kids. They can't suspend kids because the data will come against them when it comes to accountability. Just think if we start...
But isn't there also a lot of data that shows that suspending kids doesn't get to the place where you want to get to with those kids?
That's exactly right. But it also does not allow the teachers to control the classroom. So we have off-the-chart discipline problems in Baltimore County. We've got bullying. Teachers are physically assaulted occasionally. They're verbally assaulted on a regular basis.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this before. I
mean, sure.
Is that anecdotal, or is there, in fact, some data that says that we have off-the-charts discipline problems in Baltimore County?
Well, they're not capturing the data. That's part of the problem, because the data would count against them for whatever state or federal measures that they're tracking.
So their incentive is not to admit what's going on.
That's exactly right. In Baltimore County, the police officers that are in the school, they're not allowed to issue a police report unless there's an actual arrest that takes place. So we're not capturing the data.
So you would change rules? You would require? I mean, because, again, it's just like, how do we really know that this is happening if, in fact, it's not being reported? It's kind of, it's a chicken and the egg thing, isn't it?
It is a chicken and the egg. That's why we need to be more open. We need to be transparent. We need to utilize technology. We need to utilize data. But we need to use it for the right purposes.
All right, we've got to take a quick break, and then we will come back with more with Al Redmer Jr. and Johnny Olszewski Jr. They are running to be the next Baltimore County Executive. This is another installment in our series of conversations with the candidates. Our phone number, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Before we go to a break, on Mondays here on Midday, it is our practice to read the names of the people who have lost their lives to violence in Baltimore City during the previous week. We stand in witness to their untimely deaths, and we remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. So far this year, 256 people in Baltimore City have lost their lives to violence. Last week, 8 people were victims of homicide. 7 of them, all men, have not yet been identified by Baltimore police. The one victim who has been named so far is Trayvon Reed. He was 26 years old. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you just joined us, it's another in our series of conversations with the candidates. My guests today in Studio A are Al Redmer Jr., a Republican, and John Olszewski Jr., a Democrat. They are running to be the next executive of Baltimore County. One thing is certain, regardless of the outcome of the election next month, for the first time, the next Baltimore County executive will be from the eastern part of the county. Al Redmer lives in Middle River. John Olszewski lives in Dundalk, where he was born and raised. We will have until the top of the hour with these two candidates. If you'd like to become part of our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And we are streaming on the WYPR Facebook page. Mr. Redmer, the issue of immigration, you have been on record as saying you oppose the current policy of the county, which was implemented by former county executive Kamenetz, to identify Baltimore County as a sanctuary county. You oppose that plan. Why is that?
So let me be clear, because it has been mischaracterized. I do not support Baltimore County police officers for no reason going up to folks and asking their immigration status. However, my position is that the Baltimore County Police Department should be allowed to coordinate and collaborate with ICE and any other federal law enforcement agency. It makes no sense to me that the County Police Department would not be able to coordinate with another law enforcement agency. As insurance commissioner, we have a fraud unit. These are mostly retired police officers. We've got forensic auditors, and all day, every day, their role is to identify, investigate, and prosecute fraudulent insurance activity. They do a terrific job, and every day they coordinate with other law enforcement, with law enforcement agencies.
And for local law enforcement to coordinate with immigrations and customs enforcement, people point to the slippery slope that all of a sudden your local police department is serving as, you know, immigration police, and that distracts them from the other issues and the other responsibilities.
Not at all. If an individual has been detained for any reason, and the federal government wants them held for a reasonable amount of time until they can come and conduct their investigation, I think that's an appropriate role for the Baltimore County Police Department.
All right, Mr. Olszewski.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I want to make sure that our police department, and I'm proud to have a brother who serves in the Baltimore County Police Department, should be focused on keeping our community safe and doing their basic job and not being an extension of any federal agency. I don't think our local dollars should be spent doing that. I will never do anything as county executive to jeopardize the safety and well-being of our community, and we'll always work with the leadership of our law enforcement communities to make sure that we keep our community safe. But I'm a believer that we can both be a safe county, but also be a welcoming county. And so I would not want to discourage individuals from Baltimore County, for example, from cooperating with police as we try to investigate crimes and keep our community safe. So for all those reasons, I actually have a different position than my opponent on this one.
Now let's go to the phones. Calling from Lutherville, David is joining us here on Midday. David, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I'd love to hear a little bit more about this idea of using private money for public education funding as this kind of like rent-to-own model, because I worked with a homeless program for many years, and one of my clients who got out of prison purchased some furniture and a stereo and other things from one of those rent-to-own places. And we sat down together and we crunched the numbers. And although his payment was relatively low, he was going to pay three times what those items cost if he had just saved up the money and then just purchased them on his own. So when you talk about it as kind of a let's explore, I think it's really dangerous, and I really want to hear more about how this is a could possibly be a good deal.
All right, thanks
sure,
for the call.
David, that's a great question. So number one, if we crunch the numbers, and as you suggest, it doesn't make financial sense to do it, then you don't do it. Then you do it the way that we've always done it. We take state money and county money and borrow some money and go do it. The only possible advantage would be short term, as opposed to maybe long term, is that if you do it that way, you free up the ability to borrow money that you otherwise might not be able to borrow, which means that you can do more sooner than you otherwise may. So again, I'm not suggesting it's a great idea. I'm suggesting that we should be creative, look at possible alternatives, let the facts determine whether it makes sense or whether it doesn't, and if it does not make sense to do it, then we don't do it.
Mr. Olszewski, TradePoint Atlantic, the developers of that, are evidently in the process of reducing the proposal that they had for county assistance with financing. There's a TIF proposal, tax incremental financing proposal, that at one point looked like it was going to be as much as $150 million. Now perhaps it's down to $100 million. Do you think, as a model, as a general rule, as a paradigm for development, that the TIF approach, which is an approach that, for example, Baltimore City is doing, issuing a very large TIF for development of Port Covington, that's $660 million. The county has been involved in another one over by Owings Mills, about $30 million, $33 million, something like that. This is $100 million, a lot of money, but is that the right way to develop a place like TradePoint Atlantic?
Well, I'd start by saying two things. First and foremost is that as we run out of developable land in Baltimore County, and I do not support extending the ERTL, I think we have to preserve our existing green space and actually try to find ways to do more. We have to find ways to be creative about infill and redevelopment, which is both more costly and more expensive, but it's also critical to the success of our county. I'd also just mention that I was really proud, having represented Southeast Baltimore County, to have been part of paving the way for the transformation at the old Sparrows Point steel site, for what TradePoint is doing and what it represents. Thousands of new jobs, national retail. It can be an anchor not just for Baltimore County, but for the state and the region. I would say that as it relates to TradePoint, it is absolutely one of those transformative projects that we should be taking a hard look at. How do we make sure that that project is successful? And so for me, as an executive, it would be one of the kinds of projects that should be eligible for at least consideration of this kind of these kinds of funding mechanisms. Having said that, I know there's an analysis being done that's due out soon by Baltimore County. And at the end of the day, these have to both involve the community in meaningful ways and have local impact in terms of benefit, but also be a good deal for taxpayers. So if we're going to be giving up taxpayer resources, we have to make sure that we're realizing the benefit on the back end of the deal.
All right. So the Mr. Eber, for people who are, sure, a little out of step with what a TIF is, I mean, basically it takes some of that tax money that would have gone to the general operating fund and uses it to pay off bonds and stuff. Is it a good model for Baltimore County moving forward for this kind of development, or perhaps any others that might come up in the
future?
Well,
it's a tool that's in the toolbox. And first, I've been endorsed by Maryland Business for Responsive Government based on my pro-growth and pro-job record in the legislature. And as a business guy, economic development and job growth is going to be a very high priority for me. As it relates to this one, I agree we need to wait for the county report and look at the facts. But I do believe that the TIF option can be a tool to accelerate growth. So in this specific example, TradePoint Atlantic is going to grow. And the question is, do they grow incrementally and do it by financing these infrastructure projects themselves? Or do we use state bonds, not county, but state bonds, to accelerate that growth so that they can grow sooner and larger by taking advantage of the strong economy that we find ourselves in.
I got a couple of questions on Facebook for both of you. The opioid crisis. Mr. Olszewski, what's the capacity of the county executive to address that very serious problem?
Very serious problem. Baltimore County actually has the second highest rate of overdoses in the state, second only to Baltimore City. I think it requires a comprehensive approach that starts with, you know, I'm a teacher, so education is always important, both within starting from the earliest ages so that our children are aware of it, but also education in terms of destigmatizing the epidemic that we are facing so people aren't afraid to have the conversations. Second piece is treatment. And so it's everything from having residential treatment and having beds and facilities in Baltimore County. We've taken an important first step in that direction, and I will support not only what's been moving in that way, but try to find more ways to expand treatment options. Also want to explore what Anne Arundel County does, which is treatment on demand. So when people are ready for treatment, for example, they can show up to a firehouse and be integrated into the treatment system. But lastly, we have to use, and this is again where my private sector experience comes in, using data and technology to really get a handle on, from both the law enforcement and public health approaches, how do we get a better handle on this? How do we identify, for example, pill mills from people who are over-prescribing from a law enforcement perspective, or patients who might be doctor shopping from a health perspective to help identify problems before they exist? And then finally, being good stewards of taxpayer money, are we being monitoring and measuring outcomes of the treatment dollars to make sure that they are actually having the outcomes that we expect them to have?
All right, Mr. Redmer, we have just a couple minutes left. Let me switch topics, if you wouldn't mind. This is an email from Josh who says, what is your position on public sector unions and right-to-work legislation in the county?
So right to work is a state issue, not going to be dealt with by the county. I'm proud to have been endorsed by CASE, which is the principals and administrators in our schools. I have been endorsed by the Baltimore County Sheriff's Union, the Baltimore County Firefighters Union, and the Baltimore County Police Union, FOP number 4, in part because of my support for them and the ability for them to do their job, and I think in part because of my commitment to focusing on what the county should be doing, like public safety, and doing it correctly and efficiently and effectively, rather than spending new money on new projects. And then finally, if you talk with any of these public employees, they'll tell you that the county's been run for years through cronyism, fear, intimidation, and retribution. The culture of Baltimore County government needs to change, and it will change immediately with a Redmer administration.
I think that a lot of the people I've talked to in those organizations, the rank and file, are actually very upset. They've learned since then that Al has consistently supported right-to-work legislation during his time in the legislature, fundamentally doesn't believe in these organizations' right to exist based on his positions in the legislature. And I'm proud to be endorsed by not just the teachers of Baltimore County, but all the local employees, the 911 officers, the correctional officers. I think that's why we've been endorsed by nearly 100 different labor organizations, because I do believe in a fundamental right to organize as opposed to my opponent here.
All right. Well, gentlemen, that's all the time we have. And I must commend both of you for being open to the idea right from our very first invitations to appear on this program. Not everybody who's running for office in this cycle is as open to subjecting your views to scrutiny and hearing from listeners. So I very much appreciate it.
Thanks
and
for
best
having
of luck
you.
To both of you.
Thank you.
Thank
John,
you.
John Olszewski Jr. and Al Redmer Jr. They are running for Baltimore County Executive, and we've got a link to both of the campaign websites at wypr.org/midday. You can hear all of the conversations that I've had with each of these gentlemen last month, as well as the conversations I've had with everybody else in this Conversations with the Candidates series when you come to our website or subscribe to our podcast. Early voting begins on Thursday. Election day is November 6th. And looking ahead, we'll have complete coverage of both the state and national elections on election night. I will anchor our local coverage, and we'll get the national returns from NPR. That coverage begins November 6th at 8 o'clock. Coming up tomorrow, a conversation about voting security, with fears that voting technology and procedures in many places may be susceptible to hacking. I'll talk with Liz Howard of the Democracy Project at the Brennan Center for Justice, Kim Zetter, who covers cybersecurity for the New York Times, and Linda Lamone. She oversees the elections here in Maryland as our state election administrator. That's coming up tomorrow on Midday. We want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends. You can find them on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.